to that.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Holland. Further discussion from the commission. Mr. Garrison.
In advice of the attorney, we would have to, again, ask in your motion, ask to draw out the vote. You said staff recommendation.
She removed.
She removed afterwards. She removed.
She removed that from the recommendation.
In her presentation.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstention? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. The next item on the agenda, item 7, Mr. and Mrs. Milton Conrad. Jay.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning again.
Members of the commission, good morning. We're going to move away from Hampton Roads, go up to the lovely Northern Neck. Mr. and Mrs. Milton Conrad are requesting authorization to install a submersible pump, 2-inch water, 2-inch diameter PVC raw water intake line, 4-inch PVC discharge pipeline on an existing private pier, change the use of that private pier to commercial use in association with proposed crab shedding facility on their property along a cove of Greenville Creek on Rocky Neck in Lancaster County. The project is protested by the immediate adjacent property owner and the property owner adjacent to that. Kathy, I'll go straight to the slides, please. Here we are, Rappahannock River, upstream of the Norris Bridge. This is Greenville Creek location. A little closer look, Greenville Creek. The mouth of Greenville Creek is a federally maintained navigation channel to support the marina and commercial seafood operation that Mr. Conrad has recently sold down at the edge of at the confluence. Here is the Conrad's home place here on this cove. Looking up Greenville Creek, again, this is, get my arrow going. This is Conrad's Upper Deck Seafood Restaurant and commercial seafood facility at the mouth of the creek. As you go up the creek and around Greenville Creek Marina into this cove is where the Conrad's home place is, where their residence is. And this parcel here has recently been sold or is in the process of being sold from the Conrad's. Now we're looking west into the cove. This is the Conrad's home and their existing private pier. A little bit closer look. Their home, private pier. This is the protestant adjacent and the other protestant adjacent to that protestant. Looking down at the site of the shedding facility itself would be in this location here. You can see some silt fence in place as a result of some fill that was put in without authorization and since been removed. This is the pier. I apologize. I didn't get right on top of it, but the intake and outfall lines will be run across this private pier, changing its use to commercial. Looking from the driveway or road going into the adjacent properties, this is a lunar dead low southwest wind, but essentially this is the private pier that will support the pump intake lines and outfall lines, and you can kind of see the stakes here and here of the shed facility in the upland. This is a property plat drawn up to show the improvements. Again, the proposed crab shed facility in the upland area. The limits of the tidal wetlands are in this lighter green color, mean low water out here. The pump will be on the dock. I've just been informed it may be a pump, that a non-submersible pump, in that the line will go down into the water, but the pump will be actually be up on the dock to maintain the pump a little bit easier. And again, the water will be drawn in across that dock and discharged across the dock as well. When the application first came in, I'll draw this to your attention, this was the outfall line. Again, the water would be drawn in here, come across the dock, up to the upland into a aeration filter tank, into the shedding tanks themselves, discharge out into another holding tank, and down into the tidal wetlands. We talked to Mr. Conrad and didn't think that was a good idea, have potential for scour of those wetlands as the water is discharged from the pipe. He has since redesigned so that the outfall comes across the dock and discharges below mean low water. Project drawing, I've highlighted mean low water, existing pier. Again, the green line indicates the incoming water, the raw water intake. into the 16 shedding tanks, and then the discharge water will be along the red line. Just a little more detail on the facility itself, the building itself, 16 shedding tanks, cooler ice machine, packing table, office, kind of a standard design for this type of seafood processing, if you will. These are Mr. Conrad's existing tanks down at the point at the restaurant and seafood facility. This will be similar layout. These will not be the tanks he uses, but the similar size, similar type plumbing, 16 tanks in the upland area. Just kind of a schematic of the pile-supported building. Initially, Mr. Conrad was thinking about building this entire structure on a concrete slab, which is how we got involved with, or how he got involved with bringing in some fill into the area. And that fill has since been removed. And he's gone, let me just go back to that. Now he's gone with a pile-supported design because the area of the crab shedding facility has been determined to be wetlands, albeit non-tidal wetlands under the Corps' jurisdiction. So now he's gone to a pile-supported facility to minimize the impacts to those non-tidal wetlands. Again, real low tide. This is probably 6 to 8 inches or to a foot, possibly lower than normal. But the pump would be either submerged or on the dock here, water drawn in this direction to the upland and then discharged, channel of low water into back into the creek. Just looking back the other direction. This was the fill that was brought in to support the slab when that design was first being considered. And that this was back in August. As of February, all that fill dirt has been removed to the satisfaction of DEQ and Corps of Engineers. This is standing on the Conrad's back porch, looking out the creek. This is, again, all of Greenville Creek Marina facilities. This is the boathouse adjacent to the belonging to the adjacent property owner. And a last aerial. I think I'll leave that up there just for orientation.
Thank you.
The Wetlands Board, let me back up. Because of this change of use, using this property commercially, Mr. Conrad, Mr. and Mrs. Conrad had to go back before the local Board of Supervisors to get a special exception to allow this commercial operation in a residential zoned area. That approval was obtained November 28, 2005. It had several conditions, including a restriction on other types of seafood processing other than crab shedding and a requirement to obtain all state and local, other state and local permits. He also had to comply with the local Chesapeake Bay Preservation Ordinance. Now, moving over to the issues, the project is protested by the adjacent property owner, Mr. William Connor, in this home here, and Mr. Michael McNeil, who owns this home here. Among the concerns raised by the protestants are the noise, smells, water quality in the cove, runoff, parking at the facility, and the impact on the general public health, safety, and morals and welfare of the surrounding residential properties. They both also raised the question of the illegal fill of the non-tidal wetlands at the site. The slide that I showed you, that unauthorized fill has been resolved. Mr. Connor also has concerns about the availability of water in the cove for this operation and feels the silty nature of the cove will affect the operation. Mr. McNeil states that the residual bacteria and ammonia in the effluent water will cause health and safety problems for the facility. VIMS originally had concerns that the outfall pipe was discharging into the tidal wetlands, so that was redesigned so the discharge now is channel to low water. Also, VIMS had some concerns about the fill in the non-tidal wetlands because VIMS does comment on non-tidal as well, but that has been removed and resolved per VIMS and per DEQ and the Corps of Engineers. However, VIMS is unable to determine the impacts of the pump and the outfall pipe on the submerged lands, and they do question the need to place the building in those non-tidal wetlands outside the board's commission's jurisdiction. The Department of Environmental Quality has asked for additional information, but have stated to staff that the activity will qualify for their VWP1, Virginia Water Protection Permit number 1. And as of yesterday, we received a letter that I'll submit to the record that states DEQ has determined this project qualifies for authorization under Virginia Water Protection VWP General Permit WP1 in accordance with Section 9 VAC of the code. However, they still believe the application is incomplete. They're still asking for additional information and have also indicated that a VPDES, Virginia Pollution Discharge Elimination System, permit may be required. However, in following up last week, I called Joe Hassel, who is one of the managers with the Water Withdrawal Division, and he stated that no VPDES, no Virginia Pollution Discharge permit will be required because this type of activity is a non-consumptive use, and it also represents insignificant water quality impacts. I don't know if I can quote that, but that's the gist of it. Also came in yesterday was the Virginia Department of Health indicating that the subject project is in compliance with sanitary regulations for marinas and boat moorings and therefore has been approved. I didn't make copies of this. I apologize. I just got this morning. I'm gonna submit it to the record. As stated previously, Lancaster County Wetland Board did not take off jurisdiction in this project. The pipes, influent and effluent pipes, are supported on the pier, therefore do not represent a fill or impact to the tidal wetlands over which they're crossing, and do not require a permit. And as I may have stated, Corps of Engineers has issued their nationwide 12 and 18, which is what allows DEQ to determine their compliance with their permit requirements. In summary, the facilities is similar in design to many other upland flow-through crab-shedding operations we see throughout Tidewater Virginia. Staff agrees with the protestants that the proposal does constitute a commercial activity. Therefore, we were requiring a formal change of use from private to commercial for the existing pier at their home. While the intended use of the property is not within the commission's purview, the local government has determined that the proposed activity meets their definition of, quote, areas of basic processing, end quote. Therefore, they found the request to be a permissible activity with special exception in the R1 residential general zoning district. And I may note that everything on Rocky Neck, as far as I can tell, is zoned residential, including the marina next door and including Mr. Conrad's former restaurant and seafood processing plant at the end of the road at the confluence with the river. The nature of the flow-through operation should not appreciably increase ammonia or bacteria levels in the tanks. The location of the discharge pipe approximately 30 feet away from the intake pipe should not affect water coming into the tanks from the creek. This is supported by DEQ's finding of insignificant water quality impacts. Staff believes the applicant has the most to gain by ensuring a clean operation and healthy product, and staff does not generally address business designs unless there's a reason to believe that those designs will impact resources within this agency's jurisdiction. Given staff's past experience with facilities of this nature in the tidal waters of the Commonwealth, staff has no reason to believe there will be any adverse impacts resulting to the resources within the commission's jurisdiction. Accordingly, we're recommending approval of the intake and outfall pipes. Again, the original application was for a submersible pump. I haven't discussed with the rest of staff, but I don't believe we would have any real heartburn if the pump was not a submersible pump yet, but a pier-mounted pump with the pipe going down into the water so that the pump is not itself underwater. And we also recommend approval of the change of use from private to commercial for that existing pier with a prohibition on other watermen unloading their catch and or buying crabs at that dock. So this would basically just be Mr. Conrad unloading his catch at the dock, not having other watermen coming in selling him crabs. In addition, we recommend a royalty in the amount of $150 for the crossings over 50 linear feet of state-owned submerged bottom, 40 feet for the intake line, 10 feet for the outfall line, at a rate of $3 per linear foot. That's all I have. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions if you...
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Garrison?
Jay, wouldn't the outfall line be better if it would run out about 10 more feet to catch a desert tide? It might make, even though it's under gravity and that has a lot of pressure, shouldn't that line go a little further than just mean low water?
Yeah, I wouldn't. In thinking about that, What I was concerned with is if the effluent is now getting closer to the intake, you have potential there. I wouldn't really have any problem with it being extended beyond the intake line. I'm just kind of working with the plans as presented.
Oh, no, not the intake line, just to say what I recognize as a desert tide. Your picture showed a...
Again, that's a winter tide. This is going to be a seasonal operation. We probably won't see tides that extreme spring, summer, and fall. That was a winter tide, but again, I wouldn't have an objection to extending that outfall line another 10 feet.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else? All right, thank you. Ms. Conrad, are you represented or are you going to speak to the commission? All right, I want to swear you both in at one time then. You swear the testimony shall give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. All right, come forward and state your name and...
We ever seen this guy before?
Truitt, members of the commission. I'm Lake Cowart at Cowart Seafood, and just here to speak on behalf of Mr. Conrad. Milton didn't just wake up one morning and decide he wanted to shed soft crabs. He's been doing this for over 50 years on Greendale Creek. He's a waterman. He's worked. He knows more about soft crabs than probably most of the people in this room, with the exception of Ernie. But he is caught in an economic situation where, because of the offshore influx of crab meat in this country and what's happened to the crab picking industry in the United States in the last few years in an economic situation, and because of a resource situation with the oyster industry, which he participated in both, he's come to the point where he can't operate his plant on the point that's at the mouth of Greendale Creek. Therefore, he's sold that plant. That's where he shedded crabs for many years. I think his family's owned this land for about 60 years. But that's where he shedded crabs for all these years. And what he wants to do at, I think, 66 or 67 years old is to continue to shed crabs as long as he's able to. So I think what he's come up with is a pretty reasonable plan. He's not asking to go on a dock to build an additional pier to put a crab shedding operation over the water. I think the commission granted one of those about 2 years ago in Hampton Hall Creek. He's asking to do what a lot of watermen around the Chesapeake Bay have done, and that is to have an onshore facility next to the water and pump the water out of the creek. And certainly environmentally, I don't see any detriment to the waterway. In fact, if anything, when the water is pumped, it'll be aerated and it'll be more oxygen going back into Greendale Creek than what's up in the head of that creek at this point. So I would certainly urge the commission to take positive action on this and approve the staff recommendation. And Mr. Conrad has no problem with extending the discharge line a little bit farther to get away from what Mr. Garrison was talking about. That is the discharge of water back into the waterway is maybe too close to the shoreline if we do have an extremely low tide, which would stir mud up and cause some sedimentation. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak to the commission.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Cowart. Mr. Conrad?
Just like Lake Cowart just told you that I'll be 67 tomorrow.
Mr. Conrad?
And I have...
James
Milton Conrad. I'll be 67 tomorrow, and the conditions of the seafood industry, as you all well know, is going downhill. It's time to slow down, and that's what I like to do. And I have the area where we're talking about, I have been cutting grass there for 47 years, and I have lived there all my life, born and raised there. And I just asked the county if y'all would please approve to put that facilities there.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Garrison.
Leicester County certainly has kept you young looking.
Well,
you're just a young man.
Well, I thank you for that. I'll give you a quarter later.
The condition that the staff put in on the other vessels, do you have any problem with that?
Sir?
Other watermen using the dock?
No problem. I just want to do I've had my wife for 47 years, and I don't want to stay home 24/7, and I'm just going to shed a few crabs I can catch myself.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, is anyone here in opposition that wishes to address the commission? Okay. You all want to speak, or are you going to have a spokesman? Okay, well, let me swear you all in at one time. If you'll all stand and raise your right hand. Do you swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God? And any order you want to come up in. I would ask you not to be repetitive and try to, if somebody before you says what you believe, then just say so. Thank you.
I'm Dave Gutowski, and if this is a laser pen, I own that dock right there.
Okay.
So I'm going to be the one probably most affected because my house right there will look right on to this water shedding facility. Okay? I can see most of Milton's yard from my house. And I guess at this point in time I only have two real questions for the commission. One is the number of exceptions that have been made to do this facility, okay, when I can't get a tree cut off of my shoreline because it violates the Wetlands Act, he's allowed to put a 60 by 20 foot building in what I think are wetlands. Well, difference of opinion, I guess. My second question is, what recourse do I have as a property owner on the value of my property because of this commercial activity being put in the middle of a residential location?
Well, first of all, sir, the issue of the zoning is not before this commission. That's a local matter, and I understand based on the presentation that it's been addressed by the Lancaster
County. It's been addressed by Lancaster County without my knowledge. I was never informed of the hearing. In fact, Mr. McNeil, about 2 months ago, was the first man that ever told me that this was going to happen. I feel like the county has avoided the issue of the people that are really impacted by this.
Your other question concerns the wetlands. It's my understanding that the local wetlands board determined that they did not have jurisdiction.
Then who does, is my question. Do you all?
The local government. We have jurisdiction on the pipe that's going in the creek, and that's what we're here to address.
Okay.
The area was rezoned to allow him to put the crab shedding facility upland. Upland, we don't have any authority.
Okay. Then, I think you've answered my questions, and I'd like to set the record straight that I am a third protester to this operation because I think it will seriously affect my property values. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We may have questions for you at the end. Yes, sir, you're next. State your full name for the record, too.
I'm Michael F. McNeil, and I'm a adjoining property owner. Although the county, like Mr. Gutowski, never tried to inform me. And I'll give you an example where I am. How do you work this thing? Okay, Mr. Gutowski's over here, and this is his area. My house is back here, right? My property goes all the way up here. I have 300 feet of direct line of sight into this site where he's going to put this crab shedding shack. Now, again, of course, here's the Connors property. And they're within 75 feet of this site. So, I mean, when people tell me that I'm not adjoining property owner, I get a little concerned because the county informed the person over here that this was going in and everybody else that he kept it out of the hands of myself and the Gutowskis. So that's very interesting. If you don't mind, I'd like to take a little bit of time. It might sound like I'm going a little bit around like this, but I'm getting back into where we should be, okay? But you need to have a little bit of the background in this because it's not all cut and dry as everybody thinks it is. Professionally, I'm a professional site planner, American Institute certified planner. I taught planning four different places, you know, graduate school, undergraduate school. I also worked for local county and state government in my career and for the federal government, and also EPA was one of them. I also have my own little consultant company, and I used to do land use, site planning, and environmental impact analysis. And I, part of that, I used to teach soils, too, when I was in, doing graduate school. We were told, but never in writing, there's nothing documented that has come from this county. Trust me on this. I can't get anything tangible from it. They'll hand me a file, but I can't get into the meat of anything. And I'll tell you, this site plan that you have in front of you has changed so many times, I can't stay up with it. And I went in to protest it again yesterday, and I was told that I should stop playing games with them. I can't stay up with it. It's amazing. We can't stay up with it because they'll change this, change that, and Mr. Larson, who's the county director of planning and land use, will go ahead and do that. Now, if you're going to make a determination about how this thing's going to be impacted, you'd like to have that kind of information. We were told Mr. Conrad sold his property. Okay, that's, we take that as a given. But he is also a little bit different, more than a waterman. He's also sold wholesale seafood. He has a restaurant. He has done trailer rental. He has a marina of sorts down there at that point. Also, he was granted a permit back in 1998 for this crab shedding facility. Well, if you have big circles on a map, and that's the whole thing, and they said the staff took a look at it, and it looked pretty good, that was the approval. The person, the Connors, at that time protested it, never saw anything get into the record. Two people from outside the area came in and protested. I mean, were for it. I don't know where in the hell they came from, excuse me. But I don't know where they lived. In that thing, there was nothing provided in the file on the physical impacts, the positive and negative determinations by the county. You would want to have that information, and how it enhanced the benefits of the surrounding property owners. That's why there's concern. We pointed out that since he didn't take action on it, that permit was null and void because he didn't take it within 6 months. The county says it was a done deal, but we went back to the county, and they had to admit that that was null and void. Okay. For the past 5 years, that whole area has been acted on. When I first moved down there in 1993, and I can tell you the Connors, who lived there for over 40 years, in this area here, there were tall grasses. That's all been denuded in the last 5 to 7 years. It's been cut back. Oh, yeah, he has the right to cut back wetlands, but it was cut back, cut back, cut back. And that has affected this area dramatically. In fact, I can say that this past summer, down in here, this was all wiped out. Anyway, I have 40 pictures of the dumping of the oysters and fill into this area here. And DEQ came in, and they were the only agency that finally took some action and said, hey, you got to remove it. Now, prior to that, on July 7th, as Jay said, he brought up VIMS. Karen Dering, a marine scientist, was brought up and visited the site and found that there was non-tidal wetlands. Okay, that's fine. And she said there was three to four different types, and that there would probably be more if it wasn't cut back so bad. I asked the question to her, if this 24 by 60 shack is put in there, shed, what would the shadow do to the wetlands? She said that this was on the 22nd of February. She said they would probably suffer and not survive. Now, let's think about this a minute. If I have this area down here and it's very marshy and everything else and water comes up in here, what happens in a cove? A cove is stagnant, basically. It doesn't wash out like a mainstream part of the creek. So the water is much slower. And when water rises, it comes and hits parts of that soil until it can find a place where it can go ahead and start traveling out at a faster rate. My contention is it's going to be going up here under that shed a lot faster than it has in the past. And it's going to be pulling that sediment back into the water. and it's going to come back down here, and we're going to start having more problems than here. And this past year, the county said they're going to follow the same format that they had when he first went in for his first permit, for a second one. Again, nothing was provided to anybody. There's no justification for it. Yes, 5.1.9 of the zoning ordinance there, and I don't mean to take you down this road too much longer, but the zoning ordinance there said, hey, you can have a seafood processing plant in a by special exception. They take that, they put it on the application, there, you can have it. Now, wouldn't you want some justification? Wouldn't you want some determinations how they came to these conclusions? Wouldn't you want to know how the whole thing fits together? We got nothing. And then they go and have a public hearing. And a public hearing brings all these people in, and you sit there, and you might be an adjoining property owner. These people could come from all over. The letters that they get in are coming from all over. And you know something? I tracked where these letters came from, where these people lived. One of them was directly across the other side of the road. The rest of them, they were all over the place.
Did you speak to the at the public
hearing? Yes, sir, I did. And I asked for the same things that Jay asked for. I asked for determinations. I asked for information. I said, where is this information that we... Well, I have my whole thing here, all my minutes, the testimony I gave, and I got nothing back. At the end of this hearing, County Board of Supervisors says, yeah, that's okay, unanimous. And that's the way they do business in Lancaster County. It's just unbelievable. And you sit here, and you're behind the eight ball as soon as you start. I'd like to show you something. I didn't have the...
Do have other speakers, so I'm going to have
to... I know that. I understand.
I'll have to give you about a couple more minutes, if you don't mind.
Well, let's get into the... I'm sorry I don't have my numbers there, but I'll give you these.
You know... It looked like to me that VMRC did not receive any operational plan initially, no engineering analysis, no environmental abatement measures, no hydraulic cycles, no determinations by the county on positive and negative impacts, accurate and up-to-date plan, and geographical and physical analysis. So we start taking a look at a few things ourselves. This is the same site plan you had before, okay? Look at the slope gradients in there. They're coming in. You don't get that by looking at this picture. You have 13, 16, 17, 13, and 21% slope. Now, where do they go? They go down in that flat area where that crab shaking shack's going to be. Now, doesn't that accelerate the soil there? And that's not sassafras silt loam, sandy silt loam, which is in the old agriculture books. That's it's a hydraulic sediment type of soil. And it's going to go right back into that creek. And you can go ahead and authorize his pump. But let me ask you this. And I just had another change. When I came in here and got that over there, he's going to be running, pulling the water out of the creek on this pier, bringing it up, and running it through the crab shedding facility, and then pushing it out in the same direction underneath that. Now, people are saying there's no bacteria and there's no ammonia and there's none of this in what we've seen so far. I hate to tell you, I've gone out and on the internet and started looking at all these studies, the cooperative study with Florida and Virginia, and it's not quite true. And there's also a big question about sanitation. How is he going to clean down this facility? And he says there's no chemicals going to be used. Well, I think there's certain cleaning fluids that have to be taken care of. And how are they going to drain that? Where's it going to go? Now, this all comes from a commercial activity starting at that pier. And it's going to go right back in there. Another thing that kind of surprises me, that nobody addresses things like vectors. Rats, birds, mosquitoes, things of that nature, which will start to increase. Mr. Conrad says that this is going to be carrying 28,800 gallons of water per minute or per day into that area. So what's that equal? That's a lot of water. It's a lot of dumping. That actually equals 115 tons of water put back and forth, I mean, going back and forth in that area a day. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of debris. It's a lot of bacteria. And we are sitting there as residents and have to put up with that. Now, that's where I'm coming from. And I think somebody needs to start addressing some true issues about this. It's not what was customary in the past. It's what's today. And you have residential people, I mean residential homes and property here that are being totally disrupted for one man's interest. And I don't think there's hardship there. I really am sorry about that. The county is supposed to be trying to shut down crab shedding sheds by their own comprehensive plan. And one person has special privilege. So,
any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Okay.
We may have one at the end.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner.
Good morning.
My name is Patrick McNeil. I'm here as an attorney representing William Connor. Let's see if I can get this to work. He has the house right there, near where Mr. Connor is going to be building. From listening to all this, I have a question that I didn't have previously. Jay Woodward recommended that a prohibition on other watermen unloading or buying at the pier. Well, if there's not going to be any buying at the pier, and there's not going to be any watermen selling at the pier, why does Mr. Conrad need a commercial pier if he's going to be the only person going back and forth on there? Because it seems to me if you take out the buying and the selling, you pretty much have taken out the commerce.
Well, if Jay hadn't determined it to be commercial, then he wouldn't have to be before us anyway. The pier is already there, and it's granted under a general permit.
Okay, then we're down to talking about the pump and the pipes.
That's correct. That's the jurisdiction that this commission has.
Well, I'll tell you why Mr. Connor is here. He's concerned because he didn't receive satisfaction from the county. And he's concerned that there's going to be a pump, and either a submersible or a non-submersible pump. We don't know.
Did your client appeal the county's decision to the circuit court, which you have the right to do?
What, the original special exception? Yes.
Special exception.
Yes.
Is that appealed to the circuit court in Lancaster County?
The special exception from the hearing, yes, has been appealed. It's before the circuit court of Lancaster County. Okay. But we're talking about, this is new, a pump, which is going to be stationed about 75 feet outside of Mr. Connor's bedroom window. And it's a motorized pump, and judging by what we have in front of us, during the season it's going to be running 24 hours a day, churning out back and forth 28,800 gallons of water a day, more or less. Now, this is a residential area. There's no way that Mr. Connor can have quiet enjoyment of his property while this is going on. And I can't imagine anyone in this room sitting still if their neighbor was doing this. You'd be on this side of the podium.
You're talking about the noise now?
Yes, we're talking about the noise.
And that's an issue for the local government, not this body.
Okay. Well, also, you know, the county has issued a finding, which is part of the record. They're stating that there's adequate mitigation for stormwater runoff. Well, unless adequate means none, we didn't see it from the county. The closest thing we got to an explanation is what Jay had earlier today. And that's really not satisfactory. Frankly, when we ask questions from the county or from Mr. Conrad's people, we get the equivalent of the checks in the mail. This plan's been changed numerous times. The county also issued an administrative decision allowing Mr. Conrad to intrude on the 100-foot buffer zone, but according to the Bay Act, Section 3.4, in order to do that, they have to have a water quality impact assessment, and they don't have one. We asked for one 3 months ago at the first hearing. We never got one then. And again, the check's in the mail. We talked about the vegetation. I don't think we have to go over that again. You know, the county justifies it by citing the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan says, for Lancaster County, says the crabbing industry is dying and that the county needs to focus on finding other developmental projects to take up the space of the disused seafood processing space and to reduce the pollution. So the county, in its comprehensive plan, is acknowledging that there's a problem with pollution at its seafood processing facilities. I mean, I could talk about the county, but there's really no point in that. I mean, Mr. Connor's here because he's a landowner, and he feels that his concerns have been ignored, and this is the one area that can address the pier and the pipes and the pump. And thank you.
Right. Thank you very much, Councilor. Anyone else? Is there one more? Anyone else? Okay. Does the commission members have any questions for the protesters? All right. No questions. Is there anyone else in opposition to this? All right, Mr. Conrad, you have a couple of minutes to respond to what you've heard. Yes, sir. All right, come right on up. Did I swear you in earlier?
You did not, sir.
Okay. Do you swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you God?
I do.
State your full name and position for the record.
My name is Lindsay Tritico. I run Commonwealth Acceptance and the National Lust Program Fund, which pays for the removal of leaking underground oil tanks. I'm here to speak on behalf of my father-in-law, Milton Conrad. Really, I wasn't planning on speaking, but I wanted to get up to rebut some of these allegations. It seems like a number of the objections aren't even germane, but I'll leave that to you all since you will determine what's germane for your board. But as to no notice being given at the county level and so forth, it's simply not true. They did give notice. This issue was raised at the county public hearing several months ago and was refuted. I'd also note that the project was vetted by the county planning officer, recommended to our Board of Supervisors in Lancaster and approved unanimously. They've raised objections about the site plan being changed. The site plan was changed, my recollection is, because Mr. McNeil raised serious objections to the project, and Milton, who's been working with the county planning officials, had to switch from this proposed concrete pad to the other structure. So the reason it's been changed at considerable expense to my father-in-law is solely as a result of Mr. McNeil. I'll leave it to you all to determine, but the objections raised by Mr. McNeil and his son, the attorney here, many of them get into scientific issues or business issues. Your staff seems like to me they have vetted these issues and recommended to it, and I would respectfully recommend to support Mr. Woodward's recommendation to allow my father-in-law to be able to operate this plant, continue his livelihood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Schick.
I just have one question on as far as washdown, and just to clarify that it is not going back into the river.
To Jay? Jay, would you address this question?
Mr. Conrad stated in his response to my request for additional information, and you can find that on there would be no chemicals or detergents used in the washdown. Now, how he will clean his tanks, I'm not sure.
As far as washing the seafood house itself, floors, whatnot, the drains for that?
I don't have the specifics on that. All of that was an upland issue, in our opinion.
All right, well, we can let it is, but you want to get Milton in?
Mr. Conrad,
could you answer that question, please? Come right on up here, so we're taping this in case it's appealed to the circuit court.
You do not need chemicals to wash crab tanks, sir. You keep them properly every day, and with you clean them, you don't have any problem with using chemicals to clean anything, all your floors or anything. You don't need it. A hose will clean it down, anything you want.
Are you gonna dress the crabs there, or are you gonna sell them whole to various people?
The truck, truck comes in every morning at 6 o'clock, 5 days, 6 days a week, and you don't see anybody else the rest of the day.
So there won't be any take?
No
dressing them?
No dressing, no, sir. No dressing, or no cooking, or no anything. All it'll be done, I'll go into the river, catch the crabs. I won't even take my vehicle down there. I walk down to it, and That's the way it's going to be. It's no, if the question come up about all the vehicles and parking spaces, they won't, don't need any because I don't have any. One truck a day, and that would be Mr. Cowards.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Any other comments, questions? Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I am sympathetic to some of the concerns that have been raised by the protestants. However, I think most of those concerns are problems and issues that relate to issues outside of our jurisdiction, specifically at the county level. And obviously, the county has approved the project. They did put special restrictions in place. Again, I think the matters that are before us are the pipe and the use of the pier. And I think in response to the environmental concerns, VIMS had originally raised concerns about the location of the outfall pipe discharging into tidal wetlands, and it seems that the applicant has been responsive to that concern and modified the project accordingly. So I think the applicant has been responsive to those concerns, and the remaining protests are basically problems at the county level. Again, the county approved the project. It's not the structure itself is not within our jurisdiction. So I think the use together with staff's recommendations, the limitations, the conditions that they put in place are sufficient to ensure that this is not going to be a large commercial operation on the dock. It's going to be one waterman bringing his catch in and shedding his crab. So I think it's a reasonable use of state-owned property. And I would move to approve together with staff recommendations.
Second
to that. Seconded by Mr. Baden. Further discussion from the commission. Mr. Schick.
Just like to state that the Northern Neck is primarily agricultural and seafood industry oriented as far as its income makeup. And, the world economy is attempting to change that. And I think it's admirable that people are trying to fight that. I would hate to see the industry go away from the Northern Neck. And these type of commercial endeavors are intermixed with residential throughout the counties of the Northern Neck. And I think that this is protecting the neighbors as much as possible while continuing the local culture of the Northern Neck. And I agree with seconding the motion.
I just have a – anyone else? I have a question for our attorney based on what Counselor, you said about the appeal to the circuit court on the special use. Right. My when is that going to be heard in court? Do you know? If the counselor, if the court overturns the special use permit, what? And we were to grant, the motion is to grant this permit. Assuming this motion passes, what does that leave? What then do we do about our permit?
Well, in my view, it's kind of a severable situation, but, the county, the court could overturn what the county has done, in which case there would be no purpose for the pump to go to the structure.
Okay.
I just don't see that it has any impact on whether you grant or, I mean, your permit grant is basically conditional on everything else being satisfied.
Right. Thank you, sir. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried. I want to thank both parties for your fine presentation. The next item, item 8, Norman Mallow. Is that Chip? Is that how you pronounce it?
Mailer.
Mallow. Item 8 in the book, Tankatank River.
Go right to the presentation, Kathy. Mr. and Mrs. Mallow are requesting authorization to extend an existing pier 25 feet channelward, reconfigure and enlarge the associated decking to a total of 1,932 square feet, and to construct a 66-foot by 42-foot open-sided boathouse designed to shelter two boats and personal watercraft adjacent to their property situated along the Piankatank River in Gloucester County. The project is protested by the adjoining property owners.
Okay.